All right. Last week we started looking at just some really basic things about healing, foundational types of things. And so again, we'll just go message by message and see what, how this develops. I hate to say this is a new series, but you know how they all that goes, it just kind of develops. But we were talking last week about the importance of foundation in our lives, and particularly in just a natural sense. If you looked at the foundation of a home, having been raised by a father who was a custom home builder, I understood that, especially in a climate like like we live in, a foundation is absolutely imperative, a good solid foundation. And if a foundation isn't laid properly and the courses aren't laid properly, blocks aren't laid properly, it doesn't take very long before the house is out of square. And so if you look at that in light of a believer's life, our foundational beliefs are probably the most important beliefs that we have. And the problem is because we were raised in a Christian nation, so many of us did come out of what we would call the Christian background, whether it was a denominational church or whether it was a word of faith type of church or raised in a full gospel type of thing. I wasn't. I was raised as a Catholic. And so my foundational teachings about things like healing and faith and any practical things were almost non-existent. There was no practicality. I mean, Mary, you were raised in that too. Do you think there was anything practical about your Catholic faith? It had no practical application in everyday life. There was no revelation of healing. If you needed healing, it was a sacrament. And then basically they'd wave something over you. And really, most of that was even done like on death's door. So there was no practical application of the things that I learned. And some of you probably were blessed to be raised in churches that taught those things, but I wasn't. And so when I came in, it was almost like having to jack a house up and rebuild the foundation under it. And that's what we are doing with a lot of Christians. We're having to actually jack that house up, their life up, tear out the foundation that was there. You can't just build on a faulty foundation because eventually that foundation's going to have to be replaced. So we actually in many people's lives, because they came out of a background where they were told that God is a harsh judge, they're told that God isn't a healer, or that God uses sickness to teach them or to punish them. They're taught that it's sinful to be prosperous. They're taught all of these things that are so contrary to the things that we believe and hold dear. And so you have to, when a person like that comes in, and sometimes we laugh because we are established in these doctrines. We laugh when we think people believe that way, but there are people who really, really believe that. And we're not just talking about people that sit in the pews. We're talking about people standing in pulpits that believe that, because our pastor is in a prayer, in a group of other pastors that believe some of those things. They believe some of the things that we just think are no-brainers, you know? So sometimes we have to actually jack the house up, tear out the old foundation, and lay new footings and lay new course of blocks, and so that we can get that house established on a solid, good, true foundation. And so foundational teachings are, even though somebody might come into a class like this and think, oh, come on, get on with it. We've heard these things. We don't need, but we do. We need to hear foundational teachings. You can never hear enough of them. Besides which, I believe, even for myself, when I'm studying, I see more every time I do this. I see more every time I study foundational things. I see more and have a better understanding than I did before. So they're really important to continue to go back and visit. As Paul said to Timothy, even though you know these things, you need to go back and you need to rehearse these things and meditate in them. And if you'll do that, he said, your profiting will appear to everybody. And so these are things we need to continue to go back and visit. So last week we looked at some of that. We looked at just brought up the whole concept of the fact that of the 19 major healing, major accounts of healing in the Gospels, 10 of them either specifically mention the person's faith, or they infer that the person was in faith. Something about that account shows you that that person believed that they would be healed or that they could be healed. So their faith was involved. And if we could understand that, if we could understand that our faith is intricately involved in the process of healing, that we have to have a proper foundation of beliefs to be able to receive healing. Because receiving isn't just being passive. Receiving is not a passive thing. You know, even in a natural sense, again, we're in the gift giving time of year. You know, we love to bless each other with gifts and, you know, find little things that we think are going to bless somebody. And, even in the receiving of a gift, what do you have to do? You have to stretch forth your hand, don't you? You have to take it. Now, of course, a person could come and set it on your lap. And I think that's how some Christians are about healing. They think it's a passive thing that God is just going to dump healing on them. No, we have to reach out and take it. The word receive in the Greek language is the word lambano, which means to take. And it's actually a very aggressive thing. It's not a passive thing where you're sitting there and somebody's sprinkling healing dust over you. You know, like God's got this little healing wand and he's just sprinkling healing dust over the body of Christ. And, you know, just make sure you get under where the sprinklings are coming. No, you have to reach out and take it. You have to grab it. And that's what our faith does. Our faith is not a passive thing. Faith is a very aggressive thing. It takes hold. It latches hold. You know, you see that language a lot in the New Testament, taking hold, latching onto things, taking and grabbing. And it's not just a passive. And yet I think because, again, some foundational teachings are such, well, if God wanted you to have that, you'd have it. You know, we know God can heal them. As I said last week, was having a conversation with someone whose father is very ill, and I asked how he was doing, and their reply was, well, he's not doing real well, but you know, we all believe God can heal him. But that doesn't say much to me. That doesn't tell me much at all, just to say God can heal. You know, I mean, I think even a sinner would say that God can heal people. You know, again, what is that saying? That's leaving it all up to him. It's leaving it all up to God. Like we have nothing to do with it. If we just happen to catch God on a good day, we might get healing. How many of you were raised in a home where you had a dad that was kind of a grump? You know, you don't have to raise your hand, but maybe your dad was kind of grumpy. And you know, if you wanted to get something from your dad, if you needed something from your dad someday, you want to make sure you catch him on a good day. You want to make sure that you catch him when he's in a good mood. You know, because you're more likely to get what you want from your dad if you catch him on a good day when he's in a good mood. I think some people picture the father that way. They picture the father God that way. Just got to make sure. And then they'll go in and they'll butter the bread a little bit. You know, they'll, oh, praise you, Father. You're such a good father. You're so wonderful. I'm so thankful for you. You know, we deal with God the way, you know, many times. Now, my dad wasn't like that. My dad was a very generous man. But I'm saying some people, that is the type of relationship they had. They had to make sure they caught dad on a good day if they were asking for things. Well, a lot of Christians are that way with their faith. They go and they want to make sure, they think they want to make sure God is in a good mood that day. So when they go to him for the things that they have need of, they'll have favor with him. They'll catch him in a good mood. And so, but that's not the case. Again, that's a faulty foundation to think that, or to think that God would want you to suffer for a little while, or that God is not there for you 100% of the time, or that God would have something that he'd want to achieve through that sickness in your life. You know, if his word can't get the point across to us, sickness sure isn't going to do it. You know, if God can't teach us by his words, if he can't get if his word isn't good enough, how is sickness ever? And if that were true, if sickness were a good teacher, we are really slow learners. The world is terribly slow at learning, because isn't sickness and disease more rampant today? Yes, we have better health system. Well, we did have a better health system. We don't know where it's headed now. We're not going to, if we even have any doctors left after this thing is all over and done with, so many of them are quitting. Scratch that. Anyway, but we have so many sick people, and we have diseases, and they're saying there is more and more diseases that are coming that are resistant to treatment, and that there's super bugs that they say are coming, that, you know, the people are not good. There's nothing that they're going to be able to do to treat them, things like that. And so again, if sickness were such a great teacher, why haven't we learned? Why haven't we done a better job of learning? And why aren't we living much better if it's meant to teach us and to discipline us and get our lives in line? God isn't that way. God doesn't use those things. Now, of course, God does discipline, but God uses his word to discipline. He says that in the scriptures tell us that he uses his word to chasten and to teach us. I'll tell you what, there's nothing more humbling than to be reading the word and to have it jump off the page at you and to feel that in your, oh, yes, Lord, oh, yes, oh, boy. And again, you know, I love to go back and talk about things, you know, when you were a child. You know, I don't know who I was talking with in the kitchen the other night when we had our connections thing. I was talking with somebody and I was just telling them, my mom always tells Duane that I was a very good little girl. That was until he came into my life. But I was a very good girl. And the reason I was a good girl, I behaved myself, is because I had such a passionate love for my mother. I love my mother so much. I would never in my wildest dreams do anything that would hurt her or disappoint her. So I loved her very much. And I had a very healthy fear, a healthy fear now, not a morbid fear, but a healthy fear of my father. So it was a really good balance for me to live properly, for me to live, you know, just to behave myself and to live right. And so, you know, that was enough to keep me. And I believe if we just have a passion for God, a love for God like that, you know, I don't know where I was even going with this. My goodness. But anyway, those foundations are so important. Why we believe the things we do. And it's interesting, the older you get as a believer, the more you see that, oh, I know where I was going with that, about the word chastening. All my mother had to do was just say, Mary Louise. You know, if there was something that wasn't quite where it should be, you know, Mary Louise, if she even, I mean, that was enough to just devastate me. So, yeah, you probably all had a parent like that too, that you just loved them and wanted to please them. And so God's word should do that with us too. It should bring conviction at times in our lives. He doesn't need to use sickness or disease or lack or broken relationships and all of depression and fear and things like that. God doesn't need those things to keep our lives right. His word is more than enough. And his word contains the power to deliver us. It contains the power to lift us up and put us on our feet. It contains the power. You know, when Jesus said to Peter, come, when they were out on that water and Peter was able to step out and walk on water, do something that was impossible just based on the power of the word that was spoken to him. And so, you know, God doesn't need these things. And so that's a foundation right there. That's a foundation that if you were raised in a church or in a family that believed God used sickness or that sickness was a good thing because God could teach you through it, that's a faulty foundation that needs to be destroyed, demolished, and rebuilt again, relaid. That's a poor foundation. It is God's will to heal us. In Exodus chapter 15, the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He identified himself as a healer. Now, why would somebody identify themselves, Jehovah Rapha, as a healer and then make people sick? Does that even make sense? It does seem, but false doctrine never does make sense. It's just deceptive. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I am. He identified himself as a healer. You know, whatever the need is that we have in our lives, God has a name for that. Jehovah Jireh, God has a name for provision. He has a name for every Jehovah Tsidkenu. He has a name for righteousness, for our righteousness. He has a name for our victory. He has a name for every single need that human beings could possibly have. And one of them is healing. So we know it's God's will to heal. We should never question that. Psalm 103 tells us it's his will to heal us. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5 tell, I mean, we could just go through the scriptures and see verse after verse after verse that establishes that it's his will. That I think that's like the footings of the foundation. That's the very most, that's the most fundamental belief that we have to have, excuse me, is that it is his will, and it's always his will to heal. There's never an exception. You know, it's not like these documents we see today, these contracts. Did you ever get a piece of software on your computer Who reads those things? Does anybody in here read those before they click I agree or I accept the terms? I never do. I mean, maybe we should, but I never do because it just, number one, it's written in a language you don't understand. And it's just silly. You know, it's just, to me anyway, it's silly. But of course, what are they doing? They're protecting themselves. That's not in our best interest. So God's terms are wonderful terms. It's just believe and receive. It's so simple. But that this is a really important foundational principle. But healing is absolutely, obviously God's will. It's always His will to heal. There's never an exception. There's never a clause somewhere that, you know, no, in this case, I just couldn't come through for you. I wasn't there for you. You're going to have to, you know, here, I'm going to lay out a bunch of sicknesses and diseases, and you just pick the one that seems to be the least to you. Just a common cold or a hangnail or some minor little thing. You have to pick one of them, you know. And of course, we pick the most minor. No, that's just foolishness. And yet there's people that believe that way. That, you know, it's kind of like there's this banquet of sicknesses and diseases and, you know, you have to have something, so you better just pick one of these. Well, that's not our Father. That's not His nature. He's so good all the time. And I always say, let's bring it back to human relationships. Let's bring it back to what our relationship with our own Father, our own human parents is. No human parent, not a normal human parent, not a healthy, well-grounded human parent would ever want their child to suffer. We do everything we can within our power to make our children feel well and to be healthy and to provide for them. We do not want our children to suffer. We do not, and we're there for our children all the time. We don't abandon our children in their time of need. So those are just really fundamental things. But unfortunately, there's people who just believe that way because they're trying to make God fit their circumstances. They're looking for an answer to why this happened. Some theological reason for why it turned out the way it did. Look, sometimes stuff just happens. You know, we recently received notification. We always hear these things from Doug Jones. I mean, every week it's with sorrow I want to announce that. And we'll hear about someone that died. And there was one recently within the last couple months. And these were people that were pastors of a big ministry down in Texas. They were Army I leaders, and the man, his wife, and their associate pastor were killed in a car accident. And they had just gotten back from a missions trip. In fact, they were on their way home from their missions trip in the car. The associate pastor picked them up from the airport, and they were on their way home. And, you know, those kinds of things can rock, totally shake and rock a body. A local body to look, we just lost our pastor. We lost his wife. We lost our associate pastor. We lost the whole, you know, the leadership, the main leadership of our church. And that's enough to shake some people. Why did God let that happen? See, again, fundamental, foundational thing. Well, you know, we all know that we have choices in life. And, you know, we were talking with a pastor friend of ours who knows these people or knew these people very well. He was kind of came up under them and had worked with them for a number of years, knew them very well. They weren't seatbelt wearers. They did not wear seatbelts. And what happened is the van that they were in blew a tire. Tires blow, don't they? Do you think God has to poke a tire and make it blow to teach you something? No, tires blow. And so the tire blew. The van flipped a number of times. They didn't have seatbelts on, and so that's it. So why didn't God keep that tire from blowing? Look, you know, if you go down that road, you will find some reason to justify that faulty foundational belief. The most fundamental foundational belief of all is that God is good. And any more than a father, natural father, would have allowed that. You know, we don't know what God might have spoken to them. We don't know that they didn't know they needed a new tire on that van. We don't know. We do know that they know they should wear seatbelts. Amen. Isn't that a law? Now, I'm not faulting them. I'm trying to get people's thinking away from blaming God and trying to find reasons why these things happen and try to make it theological and to try to fit that in somehow. No. No. God is good all the time. That's what when we were going to Rhema, Pastor Hagin would come, God is good, and everybody would say, all the time. And that's not, there's no exceptions to that. Again, going back to the clause, the agreement things that we have to click when we download a piece of software. There's no clause about God being good all the time. There's no clause about healing. There's no clauses, except that you have to believe. And I guess you could say agree would be, I believe this. I believe this. We have to get to the place where we are passionate about these things, where when we're talking with someone or visiting with somebody and they start talking that way, that we have enough foundation in our own lives that we can ask them questions that might make them think differently. And that's important. It's important to help other people in their beliefs. And sometimes it's challenging. You know, sometimes it's like getting out on really thin ice with people when you have to challenge a fundamental belief like that. But these are foundational things. And what is hanging in the balance is the lives of people. People die. People die prematurely, or people suffer their whole lives with a sickness they didn't need to. Or they'll put up with an injury or the effects of an injury, or they'll, you know, we have to be willing to fight for what belongs to us, which means some of that involves some work on our parts. We have to be willing to do what we know to do day in and day out until we see that manifestation come in our lives. And never to stop because we don't see it right away and think, well, I must not have gotten it, or God must not want it, or God must be trying to tell me something or teach me something, or I must have been really bad and this is God's way of straightening me out and chastening me or correcting me. No, no, no. 1,000 times no. Absolutely not. God is good. He's always good. He always has an answer for everything we face in life. But if you need an answer from somebody, what do you have to do? You have to ask. And then what do you have to do? Listen. We talk too much. You know how I know that? Because some of you talk too much. You have to listen. You have to go and you have to ask and you have to listen. You have to stop and you have to be quiet. We call prayer, sometimes what we call prayer is just yakking. We need to just go in and state our case and then shut up and listen. Because God has an answer. God is wise. God knows exactly what to tell us to get us through that thing. He has a specific answer for that. Now, sometimes other people are involved. There's some things in life other people's obedience is involved in. That's really tough. That's a hard one because we can't make people obey God. I say to Dwayne all the time about, like, when it comes to the giving aspect, isn't it pathetic that we have to pray that people will obey God in this area? That we have to use our faith to believe God, that people will obey. But there's some things it's just you and God. It's just you. You go, you state your case. Father, I thank you. I know what your word says. I know that you are good and that you love me. Father, I know that there's specific things here that I need to see so that I can receive what you've already done for me, what you've already laid up in store for me. But then we have to stop and we need to listen. And we need to be patient. Sometimes it's just there's so much interference in our lives. There's so much activity. And, you know, we're in a very busy time of life where it's hard to hear sometimes because we're so busy and there's so much going on in our lives and so many things to do. You know, sometimes we boast in how busy we are. I'll tell you, that's not a good thing. All this multitasking, you know, Dr. Carolyn Leaf even says that multitasking is one of the most dangerous things for your brain there is. Your brain isn't meant to multitask, you know. And so think about that as a spiritual person, multitasking and being busy, busy, busy and having 1,000 things going on in your life at one time. It's really hard to hear from God when you're doing that. It's not that God's not answering or that God's not speaking. It's that we're so cluttered with all this activity and all this stuff that's going on that we just can't hear. We can't sort out because of all this interference. And so God has, he's got an answer for us. He always has an answer for us, but are we willing to be still and recognize the things that he's wanting to speak to us at those times? And so again, these are just so fundamental. These are so foundational, but you can't get away from them. These are all things that are really, really, really foundational, but really, really important, because if one of them is out of sync a little bit, it's like having one block in that course of your foundation that's out of line. And by the time you get up to setting windows in or putting on a roof, it's going to be obvious to everyone that your house is not square. And so we can look at people's lives and see, lives that are not square because the foundation isn't true. Foundation isn't right. So foundational beliefs are incredibly important. Most of them have to do with basically the nature of God, the goodness of God, God's willingness to heal us. We could just go on and on and on just about a solid belief system in just God's nature and God's goodness and what God's will is for our lives, which, of course, is where the Word comes in, why it's so important to read the Word or to listen to the Word on a regular basis, because, you know, I don't care how old you are or how long you've been walking with God, there's always, we're children, we're still children, we still need to be corrected, we still need to hear things that are going to cause, you know, course corrections in our believing, going to cause us to maybe tweak the way we believe a little bit better. Matt, I see that. I was kind of getting off course there a little bit. Because the world is throwing so much at us all the time, trying to get us off course. So it's so important just to continue to feed on the Word, to stay in the Word, especially in the area of healing. You can't do it one day and think it's going to be okay. It's just like feeding your natural body. You need to continue to feed your faith day after day after day to keep it strong. If you only fed your physical body once a week, it wouldn't take very long before you would be sick. You would be in trouble, wouldn't you? You'd be weak. You'd be, your body would be depleted of important things that it needs to function normally. Well, that's what happens in a believer's life. They try to go from a Sunday to a Sunday and never, in between, never take in any substance, spiritual substance. And then they can't figure out why when they're in a place of need, they're not able to tap into that. They're not able to receive it. You know, even going back to the whole concept of receiving, that you have to be able to reach out and take hold. That's what receiving is. It's to take hold. It's not passive. It's not somebody throwing something in your lap. Wouldn't you have to have the strength to reach out and to take that? You would have to have strength to be able to do that. If you were weak and your muscles were weak, you wouldn't be able to reach out and take something, aggressively take something, which is what faith does. It aggressively receives and reaches out and takes. So these are just some things to be thinking about. That's why these fundamental things are so important. You can never get past them. You know, we think we just want the deep things. Those deep things are they're wonderful, whatever the deep things are. I'm not even sure what the deep things would be. But these fundamental things are what will keep us alive. They'll keep us in a life of peace. They'll keep us with our spouse. I hate divorce. It happens, but I hate it. It'll keep us with that spouse. It'll keep us willing to fight for what we believe in. It'll keep us in a place of peace. It'll keep us in a place where we're provided for, where we're able to receive provision in our lives. That's how important fundamental beliefs are. You know, the super spiritual stuff is wonderful. It's wonderful, but we need to camp and to live and to base our lives on foundational teachings. Because we are human beings, and as long as we're in this world, we're going to continue to have needs. Our lives are going to be challenged. We're going to be challenged with the opportunity to become sick or attacked financially or attacked with thoughts of fear. There's things coming at us all the time. I mean, if we could see it, if we could see what's going on in an unseen realm, it wouldn't be pretty. But that is going on all the time. And so these foundational things are incredibly, incredibly important. So I'm going to go ahead and stop there. We'll pick up with this next week.